This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Losses, you know, eating actually frustrating.
I mean, we keep making the same mistakes. We're not getting better. At one point, it has to be on me, I guess, right? I'm the manager, so you know, I got to keep pushing them to be better. They're not getting better. They're not. You know, we keep making the same mistakes. You know, and I'll be very honest about it, very open about it. You know, like, you know, you get frustrated, but at one point, it's like, okay, what are we going to do? What's going to change, you know? Because we keep doing the same thing. We can keep talking about one road losses. They're, what, 17, 18, whatever it is, you know? And it's the same thing. So, I mean, is it effort, preparation, like Duke said, attention to detail, you know? I have no idea now. You know, I watched that game. I was like, wow, you know, this is real, you know? I mean, it's frustrating.
I hate watching this team right now.
High Noon, Jones and Keefe, live in the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio, brought to you by your New England Ford dealers. Hurry in to get your employee pricing on the full lineup of vehicles. Ford, from America, for America. That was Alex Cora last night, Keefe.
Yeah, that didn't sound great.
I guess at some point.
I mean, if you want to look at me.
You got to put some of this on me.
We're not any good. We're not getting any better.
I said he
sounded.
I don't
sounded, even want to be around anymore.
Yeah, a little bit like Carl Havoc.
Yeah, and plus our poor Hogdale, our poor precious Hogdale.
The You're Red Sox. Killing Hogdale.
Killing Hogdale, guys. You're doing it. So I said Cora sounded fed up. You had a different read on it. You said he sounds like what?
He wants to leave. Like, he literally doesn't want to be around anymore. He's got one foot out the door. Like, he's like, I've tried. This isn't working. I'm out. I'd rather take my money.
I hate watching this team right
yeah.
now.
Poor Hog. It is.
Poor Hog.
Poor Hog trying to turn the thing around. But it's like he has no answers, and he doesn't even want to find the answers. It's like, all right, this isn't working. Yeah. And I think also it's killing him. Not only is the team bad, but his favorite player in the world, Alex Bregman, is out for a while. So that's making it even worse.
Oh, you think he's even more in his feelings?
He's sad. Yeah, he's having a sad.
Got it.
Wouldn't you be sad filling out the lineup with Abraham Toro and Connor Wong and Roman Gonzalez, all those guys in it at the same time?
I would be.
Yeah.
Now, I also wouldn't, and who knows, maybe the lineup goes even above Cora. My buddy was making this point to me. I was annoyed the last couple of days Meyer wasn't in the lineup. I know as a lefty, I don't care. I still would rather see him in there than Abraham Toro, Nick Sogard, who was up before. Who else did you say? Why am I blanking on the other name?
Roman Gonzalez.
Thank you. Roman Gonzalez, right. Hitting cleanup, for God's sakes.
Cleanup.
I was annoyed that Meyer wasn't in there. Maybe that decision goes above Cora. Maybe that goes to Breslau.
Right, but this is also the point. This is also fine. So, So what is your argument for Cora right now? What is pro Cora?
I haven't had one and don't have one.
Because people would be like, well, all this stuff isn't his fault. It's like, all right, so all that stuff's not even his control?
Right.
So that's really not a pro for any manager then.
What exactly do you say it is that you do?
They're like, well, he's a people person. And you're like, all right, he's a people person. So you have Devers is pissed at the team. You had Liam Hendricks a week ago is pissed at the team. Nobody's playing really well. Devers is hitting, but nobody's performing at a very high level right now. So it's not like he can take credit for, well, Christian Campbell's like rookie of the year favorite, or, you know, this guy's hitting the cover off the ball. Everybody with the exception of what? Garrett Crochet, Aroldis Chapman, Bregman before he got hurt, and Devers. So three guys that Breslow brought in, and then Devers, who's like your one perennial all-star, everybody else is like is underachieving right now.
Yeah.
So you can't point to the manager about being like, oh, he's a people person.
Yeah. So again, to me, I look at it and I go, all right, well, maybe the decision goes above Cora for the lineup, but the lineup blows. Yeah. Maybe the decision with Crochet goes above him, pulling him at 85 pitches, but that's still annoying. That should be the purview of the manager. If it's not, then what exactly do you do? Why'd you hand him the extension? I'm starting to wonder why he took the extension, because he doesn't sound like he wants to be around anymore. And the players are acting like, meaning on the field, they're acting like they don't want him around anymore. Now, we do have a few updates from Cora today. I'm reading from our guy Freeze Pops, who's here at Fenway.
Freeze Pops is the hardest working man in show business.
He really is.
He's everywhere.
Well, Stephen A. I saw Stephen A.
Stephen A's got more shows.
Two new shows. Stephen A. and then Freeze Pops.
No, but Freeze Pops is at Gillette. He's at the Garden. He's at Fenway. You can't stop Freeze Pops.
Mount Rushmore of hardest working people in...
Freeze Pops, Stephen A., me...
Jones and Keefe.
There's your list.
Mount Rushmore right there. He says, I don't know if the process is good. Talking about the team cleaning up their mistakes.
Okay.
Because we're not seeing results. Maybe we have to change the process, and that's on us. That feels like a shot at baseball ops and Fresno and Driveline, but okay. That's on me, he says, you know. And obviously, let's see how the players react. He immediately goes, that's on me, after saying maybe we got to change the process. But I think that's a shot at Breslow. He also says, and this is comparing the job that he's doing now to when he first got on the job in 2018. He says, people are going to say, oh, he can only manage a veteran team and win it. He says, maybe, I don't know. Shoot, who knows? But it's different. You have to teach the game, and you have to be consistent in communication about situations. So to me, like some of the lineup stuff and some of the Crochet stuff may be out of his control. I have a bunch of second guesses for last night, though, Keith, specifically.
Yeah, there was a few.
They don't bunt in the 10th inning in a one-run game to play for the tie. Lou defended this in real time on Nesson. I thought you play for the tie there, especially given who was up. It's the bottom of your order, nobody that can hit. I know Rafaela had been hot, but given it's not like it was Devers and Duran coming up to the plate.
No, bottom of the 10th, you had Narvaez, Story, Rafaela. So, Rafaela, fine, but that's not even what we're even talking about. He was the last out of the game.
And Narvaez was a pinch hitter in that situation last night, brought in specifically there. So he's cold coming into the game, but he's been a good batter. They don't come home in the 10th inning. Abraham Toro plays for a double play. Cora had them at double play depth. I know Wiggy wants the infield in.
At all times.
But they don't do that there. And Toro maybe had time to come home and then make a play at first, but now you're asking a lot out of a guy who's not normally over there. But Cora had them situated at double play depth. Cora did not call for a bunt in the bottom of the 10th. Some of these other ones maybe are on Cora, maybe not. They're somewhere on the list for him. Hamilton doesn't tag in advance in the 9th inning where he could get to third. Now he's a base away from walking it off in the bottom of the 9th. The Red Sox lead baseball in errors, 53 of them, two more than the worst team arguably in baseball history, recent baseball history. Not going back to Reconstruction America, the Philadelphia Union, the Cincinnati Reds. No.
1900s on, they're the worst.
Cincinnati Reds Stockings.
Different team.
They're worse than that defensively. And you have Toro thrown out on the bases at home in the second inning. Base running gaffes. Team can't defend. And I think Cora's been poor situationally. So I do put a lot of this on him. I do.
Right. Oh, yeah, these are manager decisions, we think, right? I'm sure there's a lot that are not on his plate that are taken away from him. But some of these in-game ones, you have to wonder. And also, more often than not, it's a team that doesn't field well, and more often than not, they don't run the bases all that well. And so when you're losing one-run games, and you're now 6-17 in one-run games, you can't just say, that's Buzzard's luck. It's like, well, no, you're giving the opponent multiple extra outs, it seems like, every game. You're running into outs rather than letting your guys come up with hits. And then you're deciding that, you know, whether it's going back to pitchers, not walking guys, or now in the case last night, not bunting guys over, even when it's bottom of the lineup, pinch hitting type guys, it's a mess. Oh, speaking of base running, it reminded me, did you see the Angels' third run? So there was second and third, and it was like they had like a little base hit to the left field.
It's when Rafaela missed the cut?
No. I think that one set that up.
Got it.
So there was second and third after that. And so it was like a little hit to the left side, guy from third scores easily. If you watch the replay, the third base coach for the Angels is waving the runner home, then stops him, and then is in his way, like almost tackled him. And the guy ran through a stop sign, but it was like the worst third base coach of all time. He was like, go in. No, 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 stay. Then he almost had to avoid him.
Honestly,
and then he scored without a throw.
Honestly, I need the Red Sox base coaches tackling some of these base runners.
He really almost did. It was wild.
If Cora wants to do that, then he'd actually be doing something.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, that's real hands-on.
So you got Will Fleming promising big changes for the Red Sox for the second week in a row.
Are we holding our breath on that? And also, does Roman Anthony being called up qualify?
Well,
like, does Fleming get credit for that? Because that to me is a positive change.
Does Fleming get credit for this? You got your Red Sox City Connect.
No.
That doesn't count?
I don't think Will gets credit for that.
Well, no, no, no. But is that something
major changes
he was hinting at?
I would say Greg put Sam Kennedy on the spot last week. I feel like that had more to do than this. But yeah, this is a new day. This is a new era of Red Sox baseball.
I didn't feel very good about a Red Sox win coming into today. Now that you have your jersey, I do.
Yeah, they should wear these every day, by the way.
So maybe, oh, agreed. So maybe these are some of the big changes that we've been promised.
True.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Jones and Keith live at Fenway Park, taking you up to Red Sox and Angels. We're going to hang out with Joe Weil for some Red Sox pregame, 12:35, first pitch, 1:35, here on your flagship station for the Boston Red Sox, WEEI. We've been talking a lot of Celtics on the show today. Off-season changes right around the corner for this team. And for more on that, we're joined here on Jones and Keith by Robert Horry, friend of the show, seven-time NBA champ. He's brought to you courtesy of Bet Online. You can check out Bet Online for updated NBA Finals series and MVP odds, along with game-by-game lines and props. Robert Horry, welcome back to Jones and Keefe on WEEI.
Man, thanks for having me back, guys. Appreciate it.
Well, we want the insight. We like to pretend like we have real insight on the Celtics and their offseason and changes coming. You know, the big story here in Boston is new ownership. They're going to look to peel off some salary, especially with Jason Tatum hurt. What do you expect the Celtics to do this offseason, and what do you expect them to look like next year?
They're going to look totally different. You know, when I looked at that roster and you look at, you know, you got guys like Old Man Horford, you got Jrue Holiday, you got these guys who've been like a little long in the tooth. So you might get rid of Holiday because you got Peyton Pritchard who's been playing so well. You get rid of Al Horford because you have Luke Kornet who's playing so well. So those two guys can take a lot of money off of your, you know, your cap. And then the thing is, what are you going to do with Jason, you know, tearing his Achilles and probably going to be out for the entire season next year? Do you say, okay, this is a way to, like, position ourselves to get a good pick in the draft? Or do we do what we're going to do? I would want to be the Celtics GM right now because there's some head scratching going on there. Like, what do you do with Porzingis, who's always hurt? You know, he's supposed to be that unicorn, but he hasn't been there for you. So it's going to be a lot of changes in the Celtics organization, but, you know, I think the main keys are going to be Brown, Pritchard, and Luke Kornet because those guys, you know, they play really great minutes, and of course, and Derek White. So it's going to be interesting what those guys do.
You know, they were about to lose the series to the Knicks even before Tatum got hurt, and they were trying to repeat as champions all year. We were sort of comparing them to the season before and wondering if they were going to do it. You've done it. You've won back-to-back early in your career. You won three in a row with the Lakers. Then you were on teams with the Spurs that would win every other year. So what do you think some of the big obstacles that this Celtics team ran into as they were trying to defend their title?
I think they fell in love with the three ball too much. You know, you had a success last season doing it, but did you really? You forget, Jaylen Brown is not a really efficient three-point shooter. He won MVP for you in the finals. And how did he do that? But just going to the hole and getting buckets. And that's the way this game has evolved and changed. That everybody wants to shoot threes. And you know the Celtics, you know, outside, I think Minnesota shot more threes than anybody. And you got to curtail your game. And I think you watch the way that Jason Tatum play. He's so good at getting to the basket, but yet you settle. I tell people all the time, when you shoot a lot of threes, I mean, you don't want to work hard. Because it's easy to get out in three wingers compared to, like, get to the hole and pull up for a jumper. That's a lot of work. You look at guys like, you know, Kobe Bryant did it. And then look at the MVP this year, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He doesn't shoot a lot of threes. He manufactures points by getting to the basket, getting to the free throw line, and putting the defense on the heels. And you just can't just settle like the Celtics did this year. I think they had the fat cat syndrome more than anybody, and they just settled for a lot of threes because it was easy.
Okay, maybe you just answered it. I was going to ask you about who to blame for the play style, but the fat cat syndrome
coaching.
That set in with this team. So, coaching would be on the list. I think, you know, the whole organizational philosophy, it's league-wide with launching up all these threes. How would you combat that? I mean, is it strictly the coach? Is it a personnel thing? How do you combat the Celtics and the fat cat syndrome and the launching of the threes?
You started in training camp. You said, listen, guys, we're getting to the hole. You know, none of this selling for threes. If you're the hot guy, shoot all you can and make as many as you can. But just don't just pop a three because you're open. I think a lot of times, you know, it boils down to, okay, I have an open shot. Do you really? There's a reason you're open, you know. And sometimes guys shoot a lot of threes because it's easy, not just going to the basket. There's so many times I know I watch, I'm like, why are you shooting at Al Horford? You know, you're catching it at the top of your head and you're shooting it. It's clank, clank, clank. Then one game you have five and you think you're hot. And it's always amazing me how you shoot from three and you say, oh, I'm shooting 35% free. That's awful. 35 only counts in baseball when you get that batting percentage. It's, to me, that's just god awful. And if you're not shooting over 43% from threes, you know, you shouldn't be shooting them unless you're wide open. And for me, I just think when you watch the way the Celtics play, they shot a lot of bad shots, a lot of bad shots. And that equates to fast break points, especially when you're playing the Knicks. They feast off that. You know, you shoot a bad three, they come down, grind out, get a two. You come down, shoot another bad three because you think I got to make up for the bad shot I just made, and it puts you in a hole. And the Celtics put themselves in a hole so many times during that Knicks series.
If you were playing today, how many threes a game would you take?
About 10.
Well, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, Robert, but you were 34% for three from your career, but you let them fly.
Yeah, 34%, but you got to say, some games I take one, some games I take two. But now, if I'm going to take 10 a game, I'm going to make damn sure I make 50% of those. It's going to happen. Or not, I'm going to the hole. You know, I'm not one of these arrogant guys where it's going to eventually fall. It's going to fall when I see one go through and then the confidence builds.
All right, I don't want to get you into trouble with anybody, but if you could have one guy for a series in their prime, would it be Olajuwon, Shaq, or Tim Duncan?
Shaq. Mm-hmm. If I could take the MVP Shaq, and you know that would take him. But if I got to take multiple years, I'm taking Dream. But if I got 1 year and I can take one particular player, it'd be 2000 Shaq because he was just so dominant. You know, if you think about the size, the strength, and his weight, his ability to move, you know, the Shaq you guys got, that was a third of the guy. So he was a third guy. That, you know, it was just simply amazing what he was able to do, man. So if he'd have been able to stay that Shaq for multiple years, he'd have probably been we wouldn't be talking about any other player but him as the most dominant and best player to play this game.
So this is probably a stupid question, but my fear is a player like Shaq from 2000 might not even have the same type of even a role, never mind the same type of role and impact in today's NBA. I mean, is that fair to say? Like, would Shaq have a role the way he played then in today's NBA?
So let me ask you this question. Who in the league right now could have guarded Shaq?
I mean,
if no, I one,
no,
play,
but,
if,
no one.
His yeah, coaches would probably. His coaches would probably look. Robert,
like Joe
with you.
Mazzulla wouldn't play. Yeah, Mazzulla take threes.
Mazzulla would tell him to go stand in the corner. He'd be like, "Go launch from three."
And you know, and if the owners were smart, you know what Azulu would be? He'd be watching it from the bench because he'd be fired. It's because it's not about. This is what amazes me about coaches. Coaches come in. Oh, this is my game plan. Do you have the personnel that fits your game plan? No, you coach the personnel that you have. You know, I think that's one of the problems that D'Antoni had when he was coaching Lakers. He had three really good big men, and he says, "Oh, I'm gonna run this system." You don't have that people to run the system. You can't. You don't have what you had in Phoenix. And coaches need to be able to adjust and adapt and use the personnel. You think about it. You tell me right now, what player in the league that could guard prime Shaq? Nobody, because he's dunking on everybody. You know, think about what he did to Patrick Ewing, what he did to Hakeem Olajuwon. And these are great defensive players. David Robinson, Hall of Fame defensive players. They can barely stop him. You tell me what guy. Do you think Draymond Green – could stop Shaq? Only, what, 6'4"? No.
Robert, I don't know if I got some bad information on this, but I was told back at your Alabama days, Latrell Sprewell would get the better of you on one-on-one.
Well, you got a lot of bad information, dude. I don't know what you're talking about. Cause you forget, when Spree first got into the league, Spree couldn't shoot. It took a lot of hard work and dedication, and Don Nelson turned Spreewell into a way better player than he was in college. You know, if you go back and look at college, because nobody was shooting on that team. I'm the best player that ever came through Alabama.
No, I knew it was wrong. I mean, you were drafted. Yeah, you were drafted much higher than he was. But we saw Sprewell pop up during the Knicks series where they had all the former Knicks kind of hanging around the baseline there.
No, don't get me wrong. Spree turned to a hell of a player. He's a better talent than me, but I'm a better winner than him.
That's true.
I mean,
that's undeniable.
One of the greatest winners the game's ever seen. 7-time champ Robert Horry. Brought to you courtesy of Bet Online. Check out Bet Online for updated NBA Finals series and MVP odds, along with game by game lines and props. OKC heavy favorite at Bet Online, -670. SGA heavy favorite to be Finals MVP, -550. Robert Horry, thanks for coming back on Jones and Keefe. We know you got a tight schedule today. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Man, I appreciate you guys. It's always fun to talk basketball with you guys.
Thank you, Robert. Appreciate it.
Robert Horry, thanks so much joining us here on Jones and Keefe. So the intel you got is he would give Sprewell would give him work.
Yeah.
One-on-one at Alabama.
Not the case.
I guess that's not the case.
Not the case. So Robert Horry was drafted 11th overall in the 92 draft. So that was the same Shaq Alonzo Mourning 1-2 draft. And then Latrell Sprewell was the 24th pick. So coming out of college, Horry was the better prospect. Horry was...
Now you got to be careful. You lose too many games in a row one-on-one to Sprewell. Well, he may snap.
That's also true. You got to run that risk.
You never want to be PJ Carlissimo in that scenario.
Dude, Sprewell did get really, really good, though.
Sprewell was good.
He was all-NBA first team his second year in the league.
With Golden State?
With Golden State. He was all-NBA first team.
Oh, I didn't realize he was ever that good.
Yeah, and then he was obviously good with the Knicks. Then he actually was pretty good with the T-Wolves. Remember, he played with Garnett and Cassell, and they made the conference finals. But, Robert Horry's career is wild when you look at it.
I mean, people, if you don't realize this, we have some young listeners out there, Keith.
Brad.
The reason you asked about would you take Olajuwon or Shaq or Duncan, he played with all those.
Played with all those guys. Won multiple titles with all of them. He started on those Rockets teams. So... he was on the Rockets team that the finals got interrupted for the O.J. chase. He was playing in that series, starting with Hakeem Olajuwon for back-to-back titles. That was his second and third year in the league. And then he went from Houston to L.A. and played with Shaq and Kobe for 3 years. Then he leaves L.A. and goes to the Spurs and plays with Tim Duncan and Ginobili and all those guys. So he played on three teams and won 7 total titles. He won 2 or more with each team.
Pretty nice.
And, like, he wasn't just a on-the-team guy. He was hitting big buzzer-beater shots at, like, every series. So he started with the Rockets, then he came off the bench for those other teams. But he was a big factor on all of them. And I love talking to him. Like,
Well, so the last time we talked to him, and this is a shout-out to Twitch.
Yeah.
Always, I say there's always a healthy chat going on Twitch.
There usually is, yeah.
Last time we had Robert Horry on, they mentioned, they're like, doesn't he hate Danny Ainge? And he asked that in the middle of the interview, and he was, like, ready to fight Dan. When Ainge was coaching him in Phoenix, is that what it was?
Yes, Ainge was the coach.
Ainge was the coach, and they were like,
he threw the towel in his face.
That's what
I remember watching that game.
Oh, that's what it was. I'm sorry, that's what it was.
I don't know if that was versus the Celtics or not, but I vividly remember that.
And so no, I like story time with Robert Horry.
He's great, but he even said like the fat cat syndrome. So like the Celtics, like they took a lot of threes, but they also just kind of were like, took themselves for granted or their success for granted. I don't know.
He also said, and it was kind of a defense of Shaq, but he also said he'd fire Mazzulla if you're telling bigs like this to stand in the corner and shoot threes. I mean, look, that goes higher than just the coaches. That goes to front offices and analytics and everything else. But it probably sounds like a dumb question. I don't know what Shaq's role would be in the NBA. He's right. Who could guard him? Nobody. Draymond Green, 6'4".
Yeah.
Like he said, a little bigger than that.
Well, it's sort of like,
I get the idea. The league goes small. It's all spread out. Shaq would dominate. I just don't think coaches or front offices would want to use him the way he should be used and the way he was used.
It's sort of a chicken or the egg argument where you're like, are there no more dominant centers because there isn't for some reason? Or is it because the style of play has completely changed? I think what happened is guys like Kevin Durant kind of broke the league because you're like 7 foot tall but dribbles and shoots threes. Like, give me that guy. And then there are more of those guys. Even Porzingis is kind of that guy. Wembanyama's that guy.
Garnett was kind of that guy.
Garnett was more of a long two guy, though.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
He wasn't popping
wasn't
threes.
But in terms of ball handling and you know,
didn't being just score on the block.
Correct.
And, yeah, I don't know. Like, those guys have to exist in the world, right? Like, the seven-footer who's also, like, 280 pounds.
I mean, look, Jokic is unbelievable, but...
I mean, right. He's another guy, though, that does everything.
But if Jokic were in Shaq's NBA, if Jokic were in a back-to-the-basket NBA, he'd be a back-to-the-basket player.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think certain teams would be like what? Yeah, what would Joe Mazzulla do with Shaq? In all seriousness.
Yeah, and
but Ori might be right. You might be saying, like, "Oh, this guy's so dominant." And Shaq's also the Hall of Famer, top 10 version of that.
Mazzulla would tell Shaq to go stand in the corner.
Yeah, that'd be a good spot for him.
Work on your threes. That's what they would do.
Remember before they traded Time Lord? Now, he wasn't the offensive player that Shaq was. I'm not trying to compare the two. I'm saying he was a non-three. They had him shooting threes at practice.
Taco Fall shooting threes when he was here, Keith. Guy's 7'7". They're could you stand in the corner, Taco, and work on your threes?
He was hitting them.
You know who popped threes early in his career?
In practice. Yeah.
People sleep on it?
Or the corner.
Manute Bol.
Oh.
Early days, Manute Bol would shoot threes.
Yeah.
Rest in peace.
So Manu,
or did I get that one wrong?
Manu Bol,
it's a rest in peace.
I think it's a rest in peace situation.
I think I've said too much.
But Manu Bol,
yeah, rest in peace.
He's the one who originally broke the NBA. Is that what you're saying?
Dude, there was a couple years when he played for Golden State where he would shoot some threes, and it was like not a lot, but like at that time, usually 7'6" guys weren't shooting threes.
Not to bring it all back to this, but was he with Sprewell? Was it that Golden State
team? No, he was on the 89. He took 91 threes that year. It was probably some VHS tape I had of like NBA moments.
I think you're onto something.
Just him launching threes.
Manute Bol broke the NBA.
Yeah.
I think that's where it all started.
Like, forget him blocking shots down there and putting in alley-oops. Let's get him out there by the three-point line. Like, okay.
I do think it is interesting, and I credit Terp for this. And Robert Horry said there's going to be changes with the Celtics. They got to change their play style, fat cat syndrome, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
I give Terp credit for this. They do not need to do it this offseason to avoid the second apron and the luxury tax and all this. They can carry it into next year, and they can carry it all the way to the end of the regular season. That's not functional.
But I think you're playing with fire.
No, I agree, but some of these offers for Porzingis, who, by the way, is an expiring contract, I think especially with him, you could roll the dice and go into next year. Even if he's hurt, it's an expiring deal. You could still move the contract.
So to me now, it's less about the return now versus the return at the deadline. And it's more if you're bringing everybody back or as close to it as you can, you're going in with the expectation like hopefully we're really good.
Hopefully.
But then at some point, you are going to have to dump salary. And that would just hurt worse if the team is like a top three seed
and then
and
they
dump salary.
Then you got to peel off
doing it now
for two other crummy expiring deals.
Yeah,
I think
it's an easier sell to the fan base today than it would be months from now.
But just know, it's less time sensitive than certainly I believed and gave it credit for. And there's a chance, I'm not saying it's likely, there's a chance they could take it into next year and then peel things off at the trade deadline and still dip under the second apron and save Bill Chisholm's money and all that good stuff. So if you missed any of Robert Horry, excellent. It's up on the Odyssey app, AUDACY. It's free. It's easy. Take it with you wherever you go. Get that on your phone right now. Jones and Keefe wrapping things up here at Fenway. We're going to stick around with Joe Weil. Red Sox pregame. Red Sox and Angels come your way 1:35. Stay tuned. Pregame show comes your way next right here on WEEI.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance.
What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.